Welcome to Tech Wrap, the podcast. We're online anytime on our website, which is techwrap.net. We're also on the social media. We're doing the Twitter thing. You can follow us under Tech Wrap Podcast. And I was going to say we do other sorts of things as well, and like email contacts and whatnot, but hey, we don't really get into that, do we?
Nah, it's too much. Too much for people to think of. And I honestly, I was listening to that whole thing and all I picked up was
techwrap.net.
Techwrap.net. And
maybe, you can't even pronounce it.
And maybe TechWrap Podcast. At TechWrap Podcast and techwrap.net. That's all I got. But all you need is the name, because then you can just Google it. And you found us. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Are you going to eat that, by the way?
What are you referring to?
You've got like some delicious little chocolatey thing. What is it? I don't even know what it is. I didn't know how to refer to it because it looks, but it looks delicious.
I can't remember what it's called, but
a plate. It's like a donut sort of thing.
It's a cronut.
Covered in caramel. It's very distracting because I'm just looking at it. I just want to eat it. And we're here to talk about tech and that's there. Are you going to eat it or am I going to eat it?
It's a cronut.
We'll see if it ends. If you eat it by the end of the podcast.
I don't know whether
that's
I'm ready to eat it.
Throughout this period, you'll slowly eat away at it. Is it too rich? Why don't you like it?
Yeah, it's a bit rich in the center.
Too much. What episode are we up to this week?
We are up to, actually, I'm not even sure myself. That's how good I am.
Yeah. Normally like
I'm visiting techwrap.net.
Yeah, here we go.
We're up to episode 14.
At load speeds. Yeah, 14. Nice. So we got past unlucky 13. We're up to 14. So
It's been a big week in tech.
Has it? That's how you know how we always talk about phones? I remember last week we were saying there's like an endless supply of new phones coming out. Every year we used to get excited for like the big conferences at the end of the year. They'd announce like a new flagship and then a couple of other phones and be like, oh, I can't wait to see what's coming out next year. Now it's like every month there's a new phone coming out.
And you know why that happened? Because manufacturers like Apple, for instance, release a new phone every year. And then, of course, there's manufacturers like Samsung who want to be well ahead of Apple. So they decide they're going to release one every 6 months then. So that's why we're getting to this point where, you know, every couple of months there is a brand new phone of some form because they're all trying to get one up on each other.
So the new BlackBerry phones now getting about the place with the physical keyboard.
The slide-out keyboard.
Yeah.
Yes.
You'll start seeing stuff about that everywhere.
The one that the CEO of the company couldn't even operate.
I don't know. It's such a gimmick. It's such a fad. But like, speaking of that, have you seen this phone? It's called the Vapercade.
The Vapercade. That sounds weird.
They're a new startup. And now to throw, like, we're talking about novelty phones like the Galaxy S6 and then the 6 Edge.
I've seen
S6
modular
Edge
phones.
And things like this. And maybe the BlackBerry, the physical keyboard. But I don't think it gets better than this. This is a phone you can smoke or you can vape from.
What?
That's the name Vapercade. So it's a smartphone.
But
you can, like, vape on it.
That's what?
It has an inbuilt vaporizer.
I'm Googling this to see this such device.
We don't know much about the specs at this stage. It's going to be running Android 4.4 KitKat, so it's
kind of like an old version of
Android. So the company also sells, like, e-cigarettes and things like that.
Oh, well, yeah, of course they do. That's why they've come up with it.
So it's a phone that you can smoke.
A vape phone.
Or you can
phone.
Vape out the side of it. So I do have like a little bit of a picture here. And if you see down the bottom where you might see a stylus on a Galaxy
What you think's
Note
a stylus,
phone.
That's a vaping. Oh, golly. Ridiculous. You just look like a moron if you use that down the
like
street.
Like walking around, just like, excuse me 1 minute.
What's going on?
Smoke my phone.
What are you doing, sir? I'm just vaping my phone.
So it'd be interesting to see. I think they're going to try and crowdsource it or something or other. They're raising funds for it or whatever. Whether or not it'll actually hit the market, even for someone to think about that.
It's just ridiculous.
Insane.
Ridiculous.
So I hope you have some more substantial tech news than that.
Why can't you just vape with a normal e-cigarette?
Because it's not cool, man.
Yeah, but neither is that.
It's cool if you do it from
walking
your
around smoking your phone. Like, I'm looking very good holding my phone, aren't I?
Oh, I can't wait.
Let's talk.
We'll let you know when the pre-orders
come. Let's talk real tech, reality.
What's been going on?
So, MasterCard, they've seen the likes of Apple and Android Pay starting to get a bit of a market share over in the US. And PS, Apple Pay is coming to Australia in December.
No, you can't wait for that.
American Express is going to be the first card that is offered on the service. But then, of course, you'll get Visa and MasterCard following suit. But MasterCard would rather you use their NFC devices than a phone.
Why?
I don't know.
What do they lose, though?
Well, they don't lose anything much at all, really.
Is there a fee if you use the MasterCard as opposed to, like, Apple Pay or the various other wallets?
No, because they're just wallets. They're not an actual, you know, not the physical device. But they've decided there's new and ingenious ways in which people can use NFC technology. They're looking to integrate them into things such as jewellery.
Ah.
You can integrate them into key tags, so you can attach them to your keys.
So that's kind of cool. I don't know the tags, but, like, the jewellery and having... Imagine, like, paying something with a ring on your hand.
A ring, yeah.
That'd be so cool.
And that's what they're thinking.
Swipe your hand over the thing, or just you put your hand over the FPOS terminal and it, like, lights up to green or something. It goes bloop. Or, like, you know, a light turns on to green. The sound effect wouldn't happen. You'd have to provide
that. Well, the FPOS device tells you if it's accepted the thing.
That's no fun. I'd like a little green light on my ring. and then I'll go bloop. And then it'll scan.
It certainly makes...
Isn't it like a little batch, like a little watch battery in there or something? Cool.
It makes NFC technology more accessible to more people.
What if somebody steals your ring?
Especially on the news that NFC technology is getting picked up very well here in Australia. Oh, in those situations when you get your ring stolen, well, you'd have an identifier on the actual ring. Which would identify
with your phone, though.
No.
So it's a standalone.
It's a standalone
device.
NFC.
Okay.
So in the situation of that, it's awkward because you lose that. You've got an NFC identifier, so you can contact the bank and say this NFC device is now lost. But in the case of a ring, well, how much have you spent on the ring? and you lose that, and then you've got to replace
things
it.
Things like signing up to the account and they give you a free ring or something. Like, come over to the X bank.
We'll offer you a free NFC ring.
Make an account with us. We'll give you free NFC MasterCard rings. Or come get a credit card with us with a bundle. That's my phone running out of battery.
That's not like you, Android user.
I've been leapfrogging charges. So I've kind of just been like using a heap and then plugging in and then walking away and then plugging in. So I'm down to 15%. I'm normally fully charged, but I forgot to charge it. I'm so sorry.
Embarrassing. That's not very good for you, Android boy. Why is that
not
on silent?
You know what we need is wireless charging in here. So while we're talking, I could have my phone charging.
Well,
we need a dock.
There's so many nice things that you can have in studios, but we just don't have them here. Anyway, back to NFC.
Would you use these devices or jewellery, or are they just gimmicky, vape phone?
I think it's as gimmicky as a vape phone at the moment.
Or a physical keyboard on a smartphone.
Look, the idea on these sort of NFC offerings is great for those who don't get into that technology on the mobile phones, like older people, for instance. I would prefer to just have a wallet on my phone because I carry my phone around just as much as I carry my wallet around. And I prefer much more... To use my phone because you can just pull your phone out. Whereas with your wallet, you've got to pull the wallet out, open the wallet up, pull the card out. It's a pain.
Anyway, I'm sore by that point.
Phone, you just take your phone to the reader, put your finger on the thumbprint, recognition, bang, done. Transaction complete. Happy.
It does sound, that's way more secure too.
It is more secure in the sense of fingerprint.
Is this actually going to happen, or are they just proposed this? Are we going to see a rollout soon? Is this
They're suggesting this is something they really want to get into.
Well, I don't think it's
nothing realistic here in Australia at the moment, though.
We'd never see it. I think that they'll release it in the US, and just all kinds of things would go wrong, and then they're like, you know what? Maybe this wasn't a good idea. I like the idea of it, but I think practically maybe not so great.
Not as great.
It would work cool if, like, you had the ring and it was Bluetooth to your phone. So, right, once you lose the ring, it goes out of range of your phone. It automatically just, like, locks and shuts down.
But then that requires commitment to have a phone connection.
Who has it? I mean, you have a phone on you at all times anyway. And people into these rings are going to be, like, sort of tech minded people, I guess.
I suppose.
Yeah, still kind of cool. Hey, you know how, you know, every other week we're talking about drones because they're big everywhere and whatnot, and drone stories and what's going to happen with drones and, you know, drones flying over illegal areas and things like this, and how do you get them down? How do law enforcement come across them? Well, there's a company here who's come up with sort of a drone weaponry, like
drone weaponry.
To take out drones from the sky.
Is this that one that has the...
It's called the Drone Defender.
Takes down their electronic.
Yeah, and like, it's essentially like a radio jammer. And it's built on the frame of an assault rifle. I'll show you a picture in a sec. So when the trigger is pulled, the defender floods its target with like tons and tons of signals, overwhelming it on like every frequency possible used by commercial drones, and attempts to cut it off from the pilot, so including the GPS connection. Now, what keeps the drones in the sky for most of these times is that constant connection with the GPS.
Yeah.
And if that's interfered, either the drone will land or fly back home automatically. So the idea between that is to disrupt that connection and then send the drone back, not necessarily knock it completely out of the sky, although I think that's a possibility they're working on. So here's a picture of it. As you can see, it's kind of got like a television sort of antenna pointing out of it like a shotgun, and then it's attached to like an assault rifle. So you aim that at the drone and it's essentially just a giant signal jammer. So
I have heard about this.
You have heard about it?
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you think?
Well,
it's probably better than shooting it down with a RPG or something.
Who's going to do that other than the US Army?
Actually shoot it down with guns or a crossbow or anything, safely try and take it down.
I think it's a reasonable idea to come to sort of some sort of compromise for, you know, the illegal activity of these drones.
Like, we've seen drones flying contraband into prisons and things like this.
Yes, that's stuff that's been going on of late, hasn't it? It's a reasonable compromise, I think. I'm not all for, and I'm not all against it either.
Well, but indifferent.
Indifferent.
On the fence.
Indifferent. On the fence.
So there are some sort of things in there with like it. What effect would it have on other frequencies in that spectrum?
Yeah,
if it would disrupt civilian communications, mobile data. So I don't.
It's a thing I was wondering about.
It's kind of in the. It's kind of just like an R&D thing. Like, we've researched this. It could potentially do this. Whether or not they'll be able to legally use it.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll find a way.
A benefit.
Once we see, you know, more and more drone stories interfering with, you know, police activity or doing illegal things, they'll probably pass something and say, you know, this task force can use this assault rifle gun. Maybe we'll have a drone task force. All their job is to take down drones.
If the right regulation is enforced in countries, I should say, and, you know, people abide to the regulations, there won't be these issues. There won't be these concerns.
It's so hard to regulate drones, though.
Why is it so hard to regulate drones?
Mandatory registration of all drones.
I don't see an issue in that.
Sign up when you buy a drone. But then you could buy the parts for a drone and make it yourself at home.
Yeah.
And not necessarily buy a drone outright.
Yeah.
So all drone purchases, you have to be 18 plus, provide like two forms of identification or register it with the government, maybe pay a tax.
You wouldn't be happy with that. Multiple forms of identification.
No. Maybe like a driver's license to operate a drone or something.
Well, that's not unreasonable.
What about your kid's birthday party? You buy them those little indoor drones. Where does it stop?
Yeah, but
those
things have got limitations on how high they can fly anyway. So
maybe a certain class of drone.
A class of drone
needs to be regulated,
has a registration.
Like the big heavy ones that can carry cameras and maybe drop things off. But a little copter inside that will get blown away in the wind.
Yeah, it's not the likelihood of that. Being able to fly at a height where it's going to cause anyone any trouble is fairly low compared to the ones that are carrying contraband into prisons, for instance. So, you know, I wouldn't see a need to do regulation on that sort of, you know, drone, really. In all honesty, it'd be a waste of time.
And we'll probably see more sort of drone developments on how to take them down, aside from just kind of this technique as we go along.
Oh, we will. We will. It'll happen over time. Hey, a bit of a startup here in Australia that has had some good backing around the country. Lachlan Murdoch has decided to invest in a company called Unlocked. Now, what Unlocked is trying to do is, I guess, you know, take the fear and pain out of mobile phone usage and associated costs, especially since, you know, phone bill data allowances are not going up very heavily and costs are not going down. You know, the providers are still charging the same sort of amounts of money for monthly costs on mobile phone plans.
It's definitely gotten better over the years.
And if anything, maybe offering unlimited calls. But then who's doing calling these days? More people are using data.
Yeah.
So what Unlocked is offering the telcos, if they're keen to take it up, is the concept of being able to serve advertising to the end user and the end user being able to, get extra data or pay for discounts on their services through targeted advertising. And what they're saying is it's only available on Android at the moment. So you can get this application and every 3 times you unlock your phone, it will serve you a mobile ad. And in the case of Lebara Mobile, who is the first provider to take it up here in Australia, they're giving 2 gigs of bonus data if people use this such method.
For how long? How many ads do you have to watch?
1 ad every 3 unlocks of your phone.
Oh, so it's like an ongoing thing for the whole month.
Yes.
Oh, and so you're only a total 2 gigs more.
You get 2 gigs
every
more
time
data.
But I unlock my phone like 20 times a day.
Yeah?
That's dodgy ads. I'm not getting watching 20 ads for just 2 gig. I am against this.
Lebara Mobile doesn't have too many positive reviews, I did notice when I was looking around, though. So
super average, I think, their plans are. But it's an interesting idea. But, I mean, can you close the ad immediately? Is there a way around it?
More details are needed on how this thing actually works to be able to see whether it's a viable and something that people would be happy to do. You know,
I think that it's an interesting idea to get people to watch ads, but I don't think that'd be effective because the only reason you'd be watching the ads is for the extra data. Therefore, like, you don't give a shit about the ads, so you're automatically tuning off.
Yes.
So you don't pay attention to the ads, therefore it's not going to be effective to you because you don't see it as an advertisement. You see it as a way to get more data. So you tune out to it. Well, so yeah, it makes it kind of, you know.
That certainly is a possibility. I know I probably wouldn't look at it because.
No, you'd be like, oh, I still have to get through this to get my data.
Yeah,
and
get my data.
You tune out, completely tune out. So. It's an interesting idea. I hate to always put the negative on it. But, I mean, okay, firstly, people don't like ads in the first place. And then being forced to watch ads, especially if you unlock your phone multiple times a day.
Some people don't care if they have to watch an ad for the sake of getting some freebie.
Yeah, because their brains are already much mush. It has no effect on
people them. People will sign up for things, like sign up for email subscriptions so that they can get a freebie at the end.
Yeah.
I do it myself.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we're not the target demographic for this.
Maybe we aren't.
I'd look for deals elsewhere that give me better data.
Something that is targeting.
Although, I am a big fan of the Google rewards, but that's not necessary.
Oh, you do a survey.
Yeah, you do a survey, which is kind of like, it's probing advertising. It's kind of advertising, but it's not. But it's providing feedback so they can enhance advertising to target you later.
Yeah.
But it's good. Because it's in US dollars and our Australian dollar is so weak, but I get good value on the Play Store.
Oh, yes.
So I have about $20 US Play Store, which is almost like $30 Australian.
Does the Play Store operate in US dollars? It doesn't operate in Australian dollars.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's
wow.
US.
They'd be the only one. Apple Store is operating in Australian dollars. They trade in Australia. There you go. Hey, something that suits our age group a little bit more, Snapchat.
Or we've got ice cream.
We've got... what?
I love ice cream.
What? I like gelato, but we're not talking about ice cream.
Snapchat.
So many of our friends are using this service to share pictures around.
Snapchat's old now, man.
People are sharing some unsavory things
on it. Used to be cool.
It used to be cool, but it's not cool now. They've changed their terms and conditions since about the last week of October.
They have. Have you got the pop-up yet?
No, I have not.
I've got it. I've still got it sitting here. I'm opening up. Oh, there we go. We've updated our terms of service and privacy policy. I've yet to accept. I'm on the fence.
Well, I'm on the unsubscribing fence at the moment.
Oh, wow. Big call.
You know why?
Why?
Because of what they want, what they're thinking of doing with people's photos.
But you could still, okay, do you have exactly what they want to do?
I don't have it written down in front of me right now.
So the biggest one was basically previously you'd snap and whatever and you'd be like, oh yeah, it's gone, it's deleted.
Mm.
But now they're like, you know, the snap may or may not be deleted. It may be kept on our server mm-hmm. for X amount of time. And even then we can't guarantee that it'll be deleted. So I think it's safe to assume that you could almost Oops. Say that none of your photos are ever going to be deleted off a server. They could potentially be stored everywhere forever. If you don't have a problem with that,
yes.
then, like, who cares? But I mean, some people, like, the whole premise of the Snapchat was kind of, you know, hey, where they're deleted. So it's kind of like they're doing a bit of a switcheroo now.
Yeah.
So that's fine. That might not bother you so much. But the other big one was now Snapchat, any photo or video sent through their service, they actually retain all the rights to that image or video.
And that's what I'm not cool with.
And they can use it for whatever they want. So they own your photo once you send it through the service. So it's here it is from the terms of service. You grant Snapchat a worldwide, perpetual, royalty-free, sub-licensable and transferable license. So they can do whatever they want and sell the image to whoever they want as well. To host, store, use, display, reproduce, modify, adapt, edit, publish, create, derivative works from,
Jeez.
Publicly perform, broadcast, distribute, syndicate, Jeez. Promote, exhibit, and publicly display that content in any form and in any and all media or distribution methods now known or later developed. So they could hold on to your stuff for future things forever
that is
and
ridiculous.
Use it whenever they want for whatever they want. We will use this license for the limited purpose of operating, developing, providing, promoting and improving the services. But what they say they'll use it for, it doesn't really matter. It's the fact that they own the photo and basically could do whatever they want for it now or into the future.
That is ridiculous. That goes against exactly what people thought Snapchat was. And for those of us who like to take images for the benefits of putting in our own little profiles, there's a great little happy snap that we took it that looks quite professional and, you know, you could exhibit it in a photography exhibition. And if you use it on Snapchat, Snapchat might look at it and go, that is a real great photo. I think we'll sell that to a freelance photography website. And what is it? Royalty free images website, and then they're making a profit off your photo, and all you wanted to do is share it with a friend.
Mm.
It's absurd.
We are, of course, taking things to the extreme here, and we probably
won't do that.
The very fact that it's in there is kind of a bit. I don't know. It's a bit scary.
Given the fact that I don't use Snapchat enough,
and then it's not even just Snapchat because it goes on.
Mm.
To the extent it's necessary, you also grant Snapchat and our business partners.
Who are their business partners?
I don't know. Unrestricted worldwide perpetual rights license to use your name, likeness, voice in any and all media distribution, blah, 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 blah. So they can hand it off to their business partners as well. Any content you create. Mm. This means, among other things, that you will not be entitled to any compensation from Snapchat or our business partners if your name, likeness or voice is conveyed through the service.
Yeah, that's not kosher for me.
While we're not required to do so, we may access, review, screen, and delete your content at any time for any reason.
Mm.
Including if we think your content violates these terms. You alone remain responsible for the content you create, post, blah, 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 blah. So here it basically says at any time they can look at your stuff.
Yep.
Even if it doesn't violate the terms of service. So that you could have
sneaky
beak Snapchat admins or whatever just going, oh, let's browse some photos today and just go through all their stuff. And you're granting them the rights. Like every time you send a photo or video, you're saying, Snapchat, it's okay. It's completely not private in any way. They can view, access it, do whatever they want with it at any time and use it for anything they want.
Ridiculous.
Fun times.
Over the top. I don't use Snapchat enough. I've got people who I work with and people who I'm friends with in various forms that you know, added me to it for the sake of I was on Snapchat. But given that I don't use it enough and the terms have changed, I'm keen to just log in, say, you know, I'm not interested in my account anymore, close it, and just share photos on whatever other platforms I've got around the place that don't have those
terms. At least you'll retain the rights to it.
Yeah, I'll retain the rights to my
photos.
There
are other methods to share photos and videos with people.
There's so many different ways these days.
But you got to think, like, probably 90% of users aren't even going to bother reading it or know about it. And, you know, let's just like everyone just accepts the terms and stuff and they go on about their lives. And it probably wouldn't even affect them ever and they'd be none the wiser. They'll go their whole life using Snapchat, whatever, and they won't be affected by it.
Yeah, that's valid. It is valid.
I mean, you could use it and still receive content from people and friends and view stories and things like that. You don't necessarily have to post pictures and video.
Or dick pics.
Yeah, I know that was a big one for you.
Tell you another thing that happened this week, and you're quite aware of this one. But
was it the dick pic you sent me?
I was very
aware of it.
No, what, you received one?
That wasn't you.
No, I don't think so. Anyway, this just blew me over. Candy Crush.
Ah, yes.
Candy Crush. So many people download this application.
Love it.
So many people use it on Facebook.
I'm playing it right now.
I don't play it, but I know of plenty of people who play it.
You have not lived life, sir, until you have played Candy Crush.
But I play more real games than that when I do play games. But anyway, people are so addicted to this game that it's been making a game developer a lot of money. So much so that the game designer Activision has decided they need it in their collection of games.
Yes. Blizzard, Activision are one. So like World of Warcraft and StarCraft and Diablo and those guys, they have lots of money.
And to hear them want Candy Crush sounds a little bit absurd. But they've decided to offer the bloke $5.9
billion. Wait, million?
Billion
with a
dollars.
B. That's insane, isn't it?
It's mental.
$5.9 billion for Candy Crush, and he can do what he wants for Blizzard. But like, and
it's absurd.
So, how do you even get to that number?
How did he get to the number? I know it's a popular game, but
you could give him $1 billion, and he would never have to work again or do anything. He'd have more money than he'd know what to do with. Let alone $5.9 billion. What's he going to do with that?
I hope the guy's ready to give some to charity.
Oh, yeah. But like, geez, I can't even imagine. That's like, you can't even think about it.
You wouldn't need to work. You could live your life.
He'd probably already have millions and millions of dollars already.
You could live your life perfectly for the rest of it.
And your next three lives as well.
Yeah. Give some to the family. Set up a charity. Make another company.
Invest in like nanotechnology and merge yourself with a robot or something. So.
Go to space.
You can live a long time.
Go to space.
That's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
$5.9 billion. Well, time to develop a mobile game.
Yes. Or
start out like on a web.
I'll be the brains for the idea.
That's insane.
But
although
I'll get an Indian app developer to do the development because I'm no good at building applications. So.
Oh, that's crazy.
And then I can make it multi-platform and I can win.
Imagine that.
I can't. It just blows me down. The money. It's just ridiculous. Anyway.
Do you know what's good? Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi. Why is Wi-Fi good?
Because you can get internet and among other things.
Yeah.
MIT researchers.
Tell me where you're going with this one.
Have used Wi-Fi to recognize people through walls.
Huh?
Using Wi-Fi to recognize people through walls.
Using Wi-Fi to recognize, so they're using devices that use Wi-Fi to recognize people.
Yeah, they've developed software that uses variations in the Wi-Fi signal to recognize human silhouettes.
But how can they do
through
that?
The walls. So they set up the Wi-Fi box in the room, and then like they'll have an algorithm or software that'll calculate where the signal's going and around it and maybe what's blocking it. And might be having a bit of a harder time going through something, and it's detected to recognize that a human between like a box or a TV or whatever else. Then you could use that, then you can track movement around in the room as well.
There's a lot of things that block Wi-Fi signal that aren't humans as well.
Like what?
Like TVs?
Yeah, but the software speakers? Differentiates between those things. So it detects what a TV is and what maybe, because that will give off like a certain signal and magnetic field or whatever that would interfere with the wave, the Wi-Fi signal in a different way a human would. So all that's in the software. So they would have all this like calculations on how every other device would interact with it and how a human would interact with it in isolation and calculate the differences between the two. So here's like
we've got a picture now.
So like with obviously without the human overlays, but you can imagine sort of a graph like that detecting.
It can detect the sort of the heat in the.
Yeah, the pattern or like where the signal's like most sort of having trouble getting through to the least sort of dense, I guess. And then it outlines the silhouette of a human.
Very interesting. And
so that could be really cool for like tactical, you know, teams. Getting into a building, needed to see, you know, where some bad guys are or something like that, or like hostage situations, put a little, like get one of those little robots come under the door or something. Or if they have a Wi-Fi signal, just beam like a heap of Wi-Fi.
I was going to say, how would it benefit them? Because people already have these technologies out in other forms, like the way those filler thermal imaging cameras can pick, you know, thermal energy up behind walls and stuff like that.
The RF capture is sophisticated enough to determine subtle differences in body shapes and with 90% accuracy,
90%.
Distinguish between 15 different people through a wall. It can even determine a person's breathing patterns and heart rate.
Wow.
How
cool
is that?
Stuff's getting real.
The RF capture device is placed in a room and then a person walks in a neighboring room on the other side of the wall. The device emits a wireless signal which travels through the wall and reflect off different parts of the human body as it moves. So as various parts of the body are reflected, the wireless signal and the RF capture takes screenshots and then using the algorithm to identify the body parts, it stitches it all together to create the silhouette of the person moving around the room. So you get this device, you put it up against the wall of maybe, you know, a hostage situation, and you'll be able to differentiate probably between, you know, the heart rates.
Yeah.
Because the hostages are going to be like freaking out and such have a high heart rate.
Heart rate
you'll
be able high.
To probably with, you know, as they say, maybe like 80, 90% accuracy, you'd probably want a bit higher than that in a hostage situation.
Well,
but to different things, the hostages and like the bad guys, and to have that information right there on the screen is pretty cool. And there's probably heaps of other kind of uses you could do for, but none kind of come to me right away. Maybe just like have a bit of a play. Maybe baby monitoring. Maybe you could do that.
Yeah.
So you can automatically detect the, you know, heart rate and if anything goes wrong or it beeps and notifies you, things like that. Maybe babysitting.
And you know
watching
what?
Out for your kids, maybe. Maybe they're sneaking out the window and you want to catch them.
Now you're sort of thinking.
But you're not interfering, you know, like a video camera might be too. Like invading of privacy sort of thing, where this signal will just detect if you think, are you there in the room? Are you safe?
And you know the greatest thought of all out of all of this? The fact that Wi-Fi was an Australian researched and developed product.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. CSIRO developed Wi-Fi technologies.
It vaguely does ring a bell. We do a lot of cool stuff in Australia that we don't get enough
We do. We don't
for.
Get enough recognition for. I mean, look at how many products use Wi-Fi these days.
Yeah, nearly everything.
Everything is using Wi-Fi, right down to, well, this is Bluetooth, this watch, but I mean, the phone's got various Wi-Fi capabilities in it, and they're a part of our everyday lives now.
Well, there you go.
There's almost no situation where you won't find Wi-Fi these days, and it's something we came up with,
and it's crazy.
Just been used, like, in masses around the world. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to know that we can still lead the way in some form with the changing technology.
I'd like to see more stories like that MIT one. Like, what epic research things do we have here for tech, big in tech? Like, you know, whenever you think epic IT, like sort of tech or tech breakthrough, it's always like an MIT student or MIT researcher. What do we have here?
We've got various research facilities in the universities, but I'm not overly certain about what projects, what big technology projects they get involved in. I'm aware of establishments around the country that are providing manufacturing for modern technology, like making electronics and things that we thought, you know, wasn't practical in the country anymore. We're certainly starting to pave the way with that. I mean, in Geelong, I can't remember the industry, but I can't remember what they were building, but they've gone from building cars to the point that they're starting to open up big manufacturing facilities for electronic devices so that they can, you know, provide manufacturing onshore for some great technology. It's the way of the future. I can't say anything about knowing exactly what goes on development-wise. Maybe someone might be able to help us online on the Twitter account, tweeting Tech Wrap Podcast.
I'd be very curious
if you're sure of these details. Now, autonomous vehicles have been the rage at the moment.
No, we've been hearing what was that one last week we were talking about with the Google car, and there was someone else trying to get it on the road ahead of Google. And we're like, you can't beat Google with experience.
Tesla has released the firmware in their most recent vehicles to allow some autonomous use. And there's been so many bad stories since then. There's people having accidents, people having near misses, and essentially Elon Musk has come out recently, like in recent days, and just said that, you know, it's the people causing this.
Yeah, it probably
because,
is, though.
Because they're being stupid with the function that they have. That sort of stuff isn't really, you know, it's not broadly acceptable around the world either. Autonomous vehicle technology is not proven enough at this point. It'll have its place sometime in the next couple of decades, possibly.
Yeah, we're seeing all sort of car manufacturers coming out and, you know, it's definitely a big push. And they want, of course, they'll want their own system to be the one that powers the car.
They don't want to work unique.
Yeah, because then what if everyone just had Google, powered by Google Drive or whatever they call it? I can't call it Google Drive because they already got an app called that. What do they call it?
What do they call their
Google car software, the AI?
I don't know what they call the AI software.
I don't have a name for it yet. But it'd be something really simple like Google Car.
Yeah.
Powered by Google Car or something like that. Or Google Road, maybe.
That's how people should be going. It should be working together, but they're not. They're all working
separately.
Yeah,
a big collaborative effort.
It would be a better system if that happened.
Imagine that too, because then you could set up an epic neural network thing of the cars learning as they go and then pulling data from, you know, millions of situations
and
around the world
it.
And sharing that data with the network and it growing and every car learning about all these potential situations and how to handle them better and always learning about, you know, is this a kid running or a different type of kid or a kid that, you know, such subtle differences, maybe a kid that weighs a bit more running towards the car or a kid that weighs a bit less and is maybe a bit more fit, you know what I mean? Like all these differences and how quickly that kid would get to the car based on things like height, like leg span, like are they moving quicker? What's the estimate? You know, all these little minute things coming together to create like the most perfect driving AI. But now we're going to have all these segmented sort of systems everywhere, and it's just going to take longer to sort of enhance that because everyone's going to be competing with each other. They're going to try and roll out features ahead of other cars that might be a bit dodgy. I don't know. It's interesting. But it definitely is all the buzz. All the manufacturers are trying to develop their own sort of software and things like this. Sorts of unique maybe systems in place.
And they've been going frantic like this for the last 5 years. Volvo is one that is testing here in Australia at the moment. This weekend they're doing testing on the EastLink freeway in Melbourne. But I mentioned Volvo because also they've actually been working on some technologies which may be of benefit for us here in the country. You know, we've got a large population of wild kangaroos around the country.
Sometimes we ride them to work.
Yeah, they become a bit of an issue sometimes.
I store things in their pouches.
You like to store things in their pouches. I'm glad you've got one, though. Mm. I don't have one, but I've seen plenty of them around. So
you can buy kangaroo balls online. Have you seen that? The kangaroo ball pouches?
No.
Yeah. I'll get you one for Christmas.
No.
It's a big novelty item overseas.
Yeah,
I just Google kangaroo ball pouch.
I suppose it was. Maybe I could make my own, given that there's so many around. Anyway,
so what have they been testing with kangaroos?
So you know, there's been things to help you avoid kangaroos in the past, like little whistle devices to put on the car.
Trying to scare them away, like they're, a high pitched.
They're almost novelty devices.
Yeah, I wonder
really.
If they actually work.
Well, yeah, hit and miss.
It's like a placebo.
Well, yeah. The nature of the beast that is a kangaroo is sporadic. It's random.
Because it works on one, it might not work on another one. You might say, screw you guys, I'm jumping here, or maybe has hearing damage or something.
And they approach vehicles from all different angles as well, and those things only really work for the front of the vehicle.
Yeah.
So Volvo is developing some technology which, given the age we're in, the size of things, the way we can miniaturize stuff these days, it's possible, to be able to even, like you look at reversing cameras in cars. They're only about the size of the button on this desk.
Mm.
So Volvo's integrating into a vehicle sensors to be able to sense activity of kangaroos around the vehicle and integrate it into the whole electronic function of the vehicle so that they can slow the vehicle down and prevent a crash point when it comes to a kangaroo.
So there you go. So they're already trying to target Australians with their software.
Software?
Surely,
well,
like,
lots of cars have got software these days.
That's very interesting that they are specifically targeting kangaroos, because it is a kind of a big thing, especially when you're driving across the country.
It is an incredibly large thing.
You don't think it'll happen. I've been in a vehicle that's collided with a kangaroo when I was a bit younger, and it was the most terrifying thing ever.
Just 2 weeks ago, my sister and I were returning home from seeing Ice House perform live. They were in our region, opening their 2016 tour, and we were just cruising along, and she was just, you know, watching the road. I was on my phone, of course, because I was a passenger.
Yeah.
And next thing, just hear this big bang and felt this like impact of some form. And I'm like, what was that? And she goes, kangaroo. And I said, well, quick, pull over and I'll see whether there's any damage, what damages there is, I should say. And fortunately for her, it was sort of a corner impact on the front. So it hit the front bumper and put that all out of whack and broke a light and what have you. But it was nothing extensive to the point that, we'd lost a radiator or killed the
so
vehicle.
So you were managed to keep going after that?
Yeah, we were able to just pull all the light and pull the light out and sit it in the boot or something and then take off.
It would have been handy to have an automated system that would have detected the kangaroo from miles away and stopped your car.
Well, not miles away, but, you know, 100 meters
or
so.
Enough of a distance to avoid the collision. But then, like, how do you predict the path the kangaroo is going to take?
Well, you can't.
I guess the only way to stop it would be just trying to slow down the vehicle.
Slow the vehicle down, yeah.
As best you could. What if you had someone tailgating you and you like, the best option was to slow it down? So that's the kind of thing, like, how do you get this this vehicle AI? You've got a sporadic kangaroo coming towards you that is unpredictable. It could keep going. It could go back. It could pretend to jump out. You might swerve and then it might jump back another way. You don't know where this kangaroo is going to go. It could go anywhere. And you've got a car tailgating you. So the safest option might be, if you detect a kangaroo coming on a collision, to just apply the brakes enough that it will minimize the impact or stop the impact.
Yeah.
But then what if you do that and the car behind you, like, you do that and with enough force that it doesn't, that car behind you guy, he doesn't have the AI and he's just a bit sleepy at the wheel and he keeps going, then he goes right into the back of you and then you're screwed either way.
Surely the...
And then you're going to be like, oh, it was Google's fault. And then there's a big legal debate about, like, Google, did the AI do the right thing? Was the driver behind you at fault? Were you at fault for not taking over? Were you not paying attention? It's a huge legal minefield.
It won't get to that.
Because, I think it will.
Because I would predict that they'd be using the AI that they're getting in these driverless vehicles, combining it with the technology that they're building to sense kangaroo activity. And it would not only be sensing kangaroo activity, but it'd be sensing what's around you as well. So to see whether it can actually apply the brakes.
But what if
it
couldn't?
Doesn't just do it?
Well, what if it couldn't apply the brakes?
You
the
just
car
hit
was...
it.
You so just hit, like, the kangaroo. There's no point even having the AI.
So it'd be the same as just hitting the kangaroo like you do now.
Oh, my God. But then you're like, oh, the Google AI should have stopped me, or whatever AI, that car AI should have stopped it. I shouldn't have hit this vehicle. It's their fault, even though that was the most correct thing to do.
No, but you wouldn't be blaming the AI.
I guess like you'd have to be a thing like you, the company who has the AI wouldn't be held responsible for any actions, but then how can they not, because they're in control of your car? It's like, oh, I can't wait to see.
And then there's a lot of cases where, you know, kangaroo incidents happen on long road, long stretches of roads at night when there isn't anybody around. So it's not going to matter in those cases.
I know.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, most of the time it probably will work, but it's like those little cases where that sort of situation might happen, then I wonder what will happen. I guess we'll find out, though, as we'll eventually see the no doubt the rollout
we
of the
will.
Driverless cars and things like this. It's just like you're going to have to wait and see. Do you know what?
Toyota, quick heads.
Before we do that, Toyota is just recently announced that they're going to be also investing in AI. So they put a casual
$1
billion
$1 billion, casual $1 billion.
AI development as well. So Toyota also getting on board. So add that as another manufacturer to the list.
To that big list, because there's heaps of them.
Yeah, I guess because they want their unique software as a selling point to get that vehicle.
Yeah, true.
I want to get the Toyota Hivemind 2000 or whatever. Because it has this feature that the Volvo doesn't. Or I'm going to go the Volvo because it has advanced kangaroo detection.
Right, kangaroo detection.
Or whatever. So they really want this software to be their own for a unique selling point to get you to buy that brand of car. It's purely like for selfish reasons. And it's not for, you know, to a universal help everyone get the most secure and safe AI vehicle.
Yeah.
Which is lame. Because if we all got together and developed, like, you know, like if we all, like with Android or something, you know, get everyone on Android and just update Android across all the cars. Apple Drive, Apple will have their AI.
Yeah,
whatever,
they're thinking
Google
about it, aren't
have
they?
Their AI, you know, with all the manner. Like, who are you going to go with? Can you install custom AI into your vehicle? Can you root your car and install
I don't want to root my car.
Can
thank you,
root
sir.
Can you your car and put like custom Google AI on there? Or could you put the Volvo firmware on there?
Yeah.
Oh, exciting times. I can't wait. We're still probably like another 10 years off.
We are. 10, at least 10 years because there's still a whole raft of development
but
that needs
so
to be done.
But it's so fun to think of all these situations and what could happen. It's happening too slow. I want it to happen now.
I don't want it to happen now because that's when disaster happens because things haven't been tested very well.
Just like the Samsung Galaxy S7. I want that to happen. We've already rumors about that, the Galaxy S7.
We walked into...
We've barely got the S6 Edge pre-orders in.
We walked into a store today. We went to look at a TV. We went to the mobile phone section. You put your S6 against...
Note 4,
sorry.
Against the Note 5.
Sorry, I was thinking about the guy at work who has an S6.
Yes.
And you put it against an S6 and you looked at it and you went, well, what's different to this?
The Note 4 to the Note 5.
To the Note 5. Well, yeah.
There's too many.
There's too many. See,
and they all have the same name, like Apple 6.
Yeah, I'm confused.
Apple 6 Plus S6, and Apple 6S.
Plus,
and then there's the S6, Galaxy S6 Edge, Galaxy S6.
Yeah.
Apple 6S, Apple 6. Apple, the iPhone 6S, like, come on.
And you know, there it goes again. And you know, the only thing that is different...
Surprised it's like, oh, that's great battery life.
In the phone between yours and the next model up is they've like made it a little bit smoother and...
Yeah, and the design looks a little bit better, but you know...
Changed a couple of things, but
no expandable battery, no expandable storage... probably not that great of a performance improvement. So, like, there's no point.
They're rolling them out every 6 months just to keep above people like Apple. But in turn, they're rolling them out so quickly and so undeveloped to the point that people aren't taking them on and they're going to other brands.
Yeah.
So,
or people just waiting. I've always been a fan of the 2-year life cycle.
They're losing money by churning them out quicker.
Because like, even though it would be nice to have it, I just don't see the point.
No need for it.
But I mean, if I had no holds bar, money-wise, I'd be getting a new phone every year, probably.
You'd be getting that TV we looked at.
I'd probably stick to one device I like as my daily driver, I guess. Like if I was a big Nexus fan, every time the new Nexus came out, I'd get that. Or if I was a big Note fan, every time a new Note would come out, I'd get that.
But,
Maybe in the future. we'll get on board with new phones and stuff. But yeah, I think you are right. Sometimes, like, you know, sometimes there are stories where they're not that in-depth. Mm-hmm. And most of the stories, like, in the headline.
Mm. Time for some quick heads.
It's a little segment we call Quick Headlines.
Let's get into this.
And we have a theme song.
Oh, are you going to do the theme?
No.
Because I was going to say, let's just get into the quick
Yeah,
heads.
No. We I know we've been saying this, like, 14 episodes.
Well,
now,
we're busy
we really
people.
Need to record intro for that.
We're busy people.
But see, because we don't want to just do like a crappy dodgy one like I've been singing.
No, we want it professionally
produced.
We want
it to be like professional and amazing. Even though it probably will just be me singing it.
Oh, we'll get our
It'll
mate.
It'll sound good.
We'll get our mate from up the hallway to when he's not doing anything, do a recording session with us.
Episode 15, I feel like that's going to be the one that we... Or maybe season 3 of the Tech Rap Podcast will have it. Should we wait for season 3? What episode would that be? Episode...
What's season 3?
25? 12 episodes in a season.
Anyway, quick headlines.
There is no season. That's just an arbitrary thing. Don't, if this is the first time you're listening. There's...
I've got a quick headline to start it all off.
Right.
So Twitter this week has decided to kill off the favorites option. So instead of clicking the little star, you now click like.
Oh, what? They're just Facebook liking.
Yeah, like Facebook liking.
Why?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think it's just to appeal
yet?
To the broader internet. Yeah, well, I have liked because you can't favorite anymore. What I've also found is on our own Twitter account, the Tech Rap Podcast.
I'm going to it right now, and I'm going to see if I can like something. So Tech Rap Podcast.
Right. So on the Tech Rap Podcast, I shared a story which I did on the mobile startup. You know, the
It looks great, but fragile as a phone screen if you're clumsy.
That's another tech quick head, which we'll talk about in a moment. Sorry. But I put up the article about Unlocked, which we were talking about earlier on, and I had up to 10 likes before the 2 likes.
Very nice.
But what's happened is now that favorites have changed to likes,
it's
forgotten all my favorites.
It reset.
So we've only got 2 likes now.
We normally have hundreds. And stupid likes.
And I have got visual proof right here that we had up to 11 likes there before.
It's huge. It's unheard of.
It's gone. It's
gone
it's,
forever.
It's not good.
Never
it's not good.
We'll just have to exceed that.
It's not good, so but that's the way they've gone.
So I assume that's like only on the official app because I run a third-party Twitter client, so it still might not be.
You'll probably still favorite.
It might be a star, but if I went to Twitter, it would say it's a like. Yeah, it's same thing anyway.
Yeah, true.
All right, so Microsoft has created a site dedicated to helping Mac users switch to the Surface Book. So direct fire at all MacBook users to get over to the Surface.
It's a good time to do it.
Yeah, a website. It's all it's designed for is to get you off the Mac to the Surface Book. Great laptop, by the way. Much like we saw Samsung directly targeting Apple iPhones to get people off the iPhone to try out
program.
The new Galaxy S6. They're like, hey, if you have an iPhone, we'll give you a free Galaxy S6 to try out for 30 days. And if you don't like it, just send it back.
But
in the meantime, we'll tell you how to transfer all your data, all your contacts, absolutely everything across to it. And so it makes it harder for you to go back. Why would you? After you've been on S6 for a month, it's impossible to go back. I wish we had it here in Australia because I'd do it for you and you'd be iPhone out the window.
All your base belong to us.
iPhone out the window. If you had an S6 for a month.
No iPhone out the window. Hey, speaking about the Surface Book.
Yes,
The popularity has been incredibly good. But a good reminder to those who were thinking about getting a Surface Book and thinking that they may be user expandable, user serviceable. No.
What? I can't put my own in there?
Your own what?
My in there? My own in there?
Your own in there. What? Put what in there?
I thought it was I could put it in there.
No, you can't put that in there.
Ugh.
That's not made to put in there.
But I was so hyped at getting
it. No, you can't service this thing at all. It's much like the previous Surface Pros. They're not user serviceable at all.
So
it's a completely sealed unit. You send it off.
Wrong.
You send it off if anything goes wrong. They decide whether it's worth fixing or worth swapping for a new unit. and then give you a new one, and that's the way it goes.
You don't tend to upgrade them, though, do you? Like, after they run a lifespan, then you buy the new one.
Yeah, so it's much like an Apple tablet or an Android tablet. You use it for the sake of using it. When you're done with it, you sell it or swap it or whatever.
Yeah,
and you upgrade it and go to the next one with you for 10 years. So that's how they see it work.
Yeah, I'm with it, which is
perfectly fine, because in the situation of my Surface Book Pro, what I actually did is I actually got extended warranty, which people sometimes say is rubbish.
Mm.
But in these situations where you've got sealed unit things, if something goes wrong with it and you're out of the Microsoft official warranty period, you can still claim on the warranty with this mob.
Ah.
And they'll look at it and go, well, that's not fixable. All right, we'll go in the store and you can buy one to the equivalent of this amount of money. And it's all covered under warranty.
How long did you get?
I got about 3 years, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So it's covered for a couple of years.
It's a good idea to get a warranty for as long as you think you're going to keep the device.
Yes. And these warranties are no good on things like, you know, kettles and toasters, obvious stuff.
Yeah.
Anything like that is ridiculous. But if you look at things like TVs, monitors, computers, anything that's got moving parts or something that's going to wear out over time and may only last the period of the warranty that the manufacturer gives you, like TVs. TVs get dead pixels, and it's a great little insurance against the dead pixels to have extended warranty, because if you do get a period where, you know, you get this big square of dead pixels in it and you've gone beyond the 12 months with your normal manufacturer's warranty, these warranties are going to cover it no sweat.
Make sure your warranty covers dead pixels. Some like, oh, we cover only if you have four or more dead pixels.
Yeah. Some are very sketchy.
One, and that's it for me. I have to chuck it in the bin. One dead pixel, I'm done.
I can't
deal with it. Because all I do is just constantly look at it.
I can do a dead pixel because my work laptop has two dead pixels.
Although I've been pretty good and lucky. Like, I haven't actually got a monitor yet with a dead pixel.
Yeah, so I've had a TV with a few dead pixels.
Very, very lucky. Hey, Netflix not long ago released their first original film
to the
platform, and it was a giant success.
What was it called? Oh, you don't know about it.
The quick headline wasn't the title of the movie. It's the fact that Netflix's first original film is the site's most watched movie in the world.
And it's paving the way for future productions to happen on Netflix.
Like, the most watched, probably because it had a simultaneous release worldwide. So never before, really, has that many people been able to have access to it and watch it at the same time. Normally it's like a segmented release across regions. So it was a huge hit, and it's just paving the way for same-day releases, digital distribution of movies.
It's sticking it to the movie
like
companies.
Scrapping all the, oh, we're going to release in the US first for a little bit, and then we, you know, us in Australia have to wait like 2 weeks. Like, Spectre, new Bond movie, is already out and premiered in the UK and now going across America. And
it's
not even come out here
it.
Till next week.
Yep.
Well, like, crap. More power to Netflix and online distribution and same-day releases.
It's sticking it to the movie companies to change their tactic on how they distribute worldwide. The idea that you can wait a couple of weeks to distribute it in another country or even make people wait a couple of days. Like, the majority of the movies now are being released the same week worldwide, but it's the same week. It's not the same day. Because the industry is still firm on this idea that movies are released on Thursdays here in Australia, which...
That's weird, isn't it? Why Thursday? Who picked Thursday? Sure.
Yeah.
I guess like leading into the weekend, I guess, for the biggest release, because they probably count Friday. I wonder if they'd count the Thursday, Friday into like the weekend, like box office sales, Thursday to Sunday,
do,
or Friday till Sunday.
Anyhow, it's changing these habits. And it's only happening through more providers as we go along. You look at the other subscription models. They're doing that, and even YouTube. YouTube now that they've done YouTube Red,
we'll
considering the idea of investing in these talents as well. Hey, I'll leave you with one more as well. One you alluded to before. The Apple TV has only been out a week, and people have already found out how fragile it is.
Oh no!
We're referring to the remote. the quintessential device to control this thing.
Comes in handy.
It's very beautiful looking. It's very minimalistic. It is glass.
Beautiful.
It is glass, just like the smartphone screen.
No flaws in that at all.
Drop it on the floor.
Oh.
And you've got yourself a nice little shatter.
It's going to end up like the majority of iPhone users' phones with cracks and shatters in it.
Well, not only iPhone users, any phones that have got...
iPhone users are more prone to dropping their things.
No. Samsung users drop their phones just as much, I tell you. I've seen so many Samsung mates ask about how much it costs to repair them. And unfortunately, it costs more because they glue the bloody screen to the circuit board. Why? Dumb. Anyway, these things, people are paying like $300 for these Apple TVs, and someone is going to drop the bloody
remote. I'm surprised you can't control it with your smartphone, the Apple TV.
I'd be thinking there would be, but I'm not sure.
It looks good, but just come on, make it with plastic or something. Yeah, what do you need, a silicone gel case for your remote?
Yeah, we're going to need remote cases now.
The remote is like the most flung around item in the living room. You still watch TV, you with maybe like mates watching a movie, you got some friends over, you have family with you.
I've got one here.
Where's the remote? Lost down the couch. Where's the remote? Under the sofa. Hey, can you chuck us the remote? You fling it across the room to your friend or family member. You don't want a glass remote for your Apple TV. Come on, Apple.
Yeah, plastic is more durable.
Throw me the remote.
Catch.
Ah, my face! That was really scary. But I caught it and it didn't break. And
it's plastic.
We could throw it around, which I would, but would probably get into trouble from the boss.
Yeah, I don't want the boss killing me for breaking the TV remote. Hey.
Have you got an Apple TV? Do you plan on getting an Apple TV? What's the point of having an Apple TV when you can just get a smart TV with all the apps and stuff?
That's what I think. I have got a smart TV.
Maybe it's good if you don't have a smart
TV. Yeah, it's good if you don't have a smart TV. Or
get a Chromecast, $38.
Or your smart TV doesn't have the functionality built into it.
So why can't you get a Chromecast and then get all your apps and just stream from your phone to your TV instead of the Apple
TV? I think people like the ability.
It's more traditional,
I think people like the ability to link it up with the App Store. They like to be able to add extra apps. I think they like the idea of being able to stream their. You can stream your computer's vision across to it as well. You can use it to shuffle your music collection in iTunes. I think they just like that sort of. Already there functionality rather than, not being able to add certain things
I've got my MacBook, I've got my iPhone, so I need my Apple TV and it will be compatible with everything.
And I can pair my iPad with it so I can display my iPad on there and,
You don't think you're going to get one?
No. I've got a smart TV.
It's a lot to fork out. I'd rather get a smartwatch for that.
I've got a smart TV that's got YouTube, it's got Big Pom Movies, it's got Netflix, it's got a couple of other streaming services. I just think I don't need that because I barely watch TV. I've got a Netflix subscription. Yeah. I do watch some stuff on there, but it's so much easier to just turn the TV on, press a button, go to Netflix, find the thing you want to watch, and off you go. And it's all done, you know?
So
and my TV is Wi-Fi connected, so no cables there, and it's all sweet.
Yeah, just use your TV.
And that's how...
That about does it, I guess.
Quick headlines. That's Tech Wrap as well. Done and dusted.
Done and dusted. Episode 14.
Catch us online at techwrap.net.
Check.
A nice little website with all the podcasts up there. You can contact us on there. You can also follow us on Twitter.
Like us on Twitter now.
Yes.
Like our posts on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not like us. You can't Facebook like.
You can like our posts now, apparently. I'm going to check that out when I get home.
You do that.
I'm going to like the posts of the broken remote. Check it out. Is that your remote you broke?
No. I don't have an Apple TV, remember?
Yeah. That's funny. It just reminds me like when the Wii came out and they had the Wii.
People were breaking TVs with Wii remotes.
Smash it into your TV.
Ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good times.
More to come, though. Mm. We'll see you next week.
That's Tech Wrap done and dusted for this week. TechWrap.net, Tech Wrap Podcast on Twitter. Have an awesome one. Thanks for listening.
Catch you later.